It is Tuesday morning. It's just after 8:05, and we welcome in City Councilman Tim Mayer. He makes his Tuesday morning visit. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Excellent. And before we get started with your stuff this morning, Keith and I want to remind people that the circuit courts are closed today.
If you have any business in the courthouse, you probably...
Not the courthouse, Keith. Yeah. Do not say that.
The circuit court, the Monroe County, the Charlotte Zitlow...
Justice Center.
Justice Center. Now, there are two places, the clerk's office and the prosecutor's offices are probably going to be open, but they had the sewage backup that affected the whole second floor. They're in there tearing out the carpet. They're cleaning and disinfecting. And unless it becomes a bigger job than they now think, then those two offices will be open. But if you have a court situation, jury duty, any of that kind of stuff, it's not on today. But it will be on. They're not going to say,
doesn't get wiped off from the books. It's just you're not going today. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm good until I heard that news. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, these things happen.
That's bad.
Sewage backup affected the entire second floor, all the offices and courtrooms.
But what is affecting us in the city? You previewed your meeting last week on Tuesday night, saying that it would be a lengthy one at that. Where was your premonition correct?
Wasn't too bad.
12:07, was that the final?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. We were done before. Time, yeah, we weren't done that late last week. I think we were okay.
So we got all the ordinances in for the parking, and we're ready to go moving forward.
That's right.
All right, sounds good. So took a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
If you recall, last week we did have a committee of the whole where we discussed the planned urban development for the Shortstop restaurant on Smith Road and 10th Street, and we had a committee report. On that, and there was a do pass recommendation of 4 yes and 5 pass. And so tomorrow night, we'll take that up for final action.
What is on the agenda for a possible final action on that? What are the options?
Well, what the Shortstop Food Mart is requesting is to expand seating within their building to expand their food service that they have. It's a small restaurant, if you look at it that way. And they serve barbecue that is prepared outside the restaurant in smokers, cookers.
Right.
And so what the council is being asked to do and the plan commission has approved is to let them expand their seating and install restaurant equipment in the building. A side issue that has come up is that the smoke from the cookers, the cookers that are preparing the food outside of the building, bothers some of the neighbors. And so, the request to us is to approve the interior expansion, and it really has nothing to do with the outside cooking, although it is a tangential issue. We have no jurisdiction.
I was going to say, do you have jurisdiction over the smoke?
No, we don't have jurisdiction over it, and there's no state or city ordinance that would prevent that sort of activity. So.
Well, Tim, let me ask you a question. I can't have one of those little fireplace things on my back patio in the city.
Yeah, bonfire,
because it burns
fire
wood.
Pit.
How is that different in this situation?
Well, I think what we've learned recently by proclamations, I guess, from the fire department is that you may use what is called a chiminea, something that keeps the...
That sounds fancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Something that keeps the flame and the smoke contained and has a chimney, as opposed to you would refer to as, I guess, a fire pit.
Right.
Or a standing on the deck kind of open burning type of appliance. Those are actually prohibited by city statute.
I saw something in Hotline that said that if you had somebody that had that in the neighborhood, call the, I think they said, fire department, and they'll come out, and if the smoke is bothersome, they can close you down. And that came to mind when we're talking about neighbors that are concerned about smoke from the barbecue grills at Shortstop.
That is true, but this is And that's the fine point of the law, that if you're preparing food.
Mm. Yeah, that's
okay.
The deal.
Okay.
Then it is legal if you're not preparing food, if you just have the fire for atmosphere.
So if I do a s'more on my little patio thing, I'm okay?
You'll be in some more trouble. That's what you'll be in.
There you go. I like Mike's answer.
Aren't you glad you do this program?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It. Tim Mayer's our guest, if you're wondering who's putting up with us this morning and every Tuesday just after 8:05. Okay, so tonight.
Yeah, so.
Tomorrow.
That's the issue. I mean, to make it real simple, what we're asked to do is expand the seating and do that part of the.
Okay.
We don't have the control over the smoke, but. You know, and here's the real downside to it. If the council, in its wisdom, were to say, you know, we don't think if you expand this restaurant, that means you're going to use your outdoor cookers more and more, and therefore you make the problem worse and worse. The reality is, though, if we deny the PUD and say you know we don't want you to expand your restaurant, therefore you won't be able to prepare more food. That's not true because. They still will have the opportunity to.
They can cook as much as they want for how many seats they have.
Exactly.
They can cook 100. Yeah.
Well, they also have a catering operation.
Sure. Right. Sure. Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
The point is excellent. The math doesn't work out that way because you can have 10
right.
seats and not have a bigger restaurant, but you could have cars. Again, you can cook as much as you want, so that's not
right.
the issue on that.
Tim, how does it come to the? I mean, you have just given the greatest explanation. Of why this isn't in your domain that I've heard, and yet prior to all of this, I hadn't heard that you didn't have any control over the smokers outside.
Well, we don't have control over this.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that didn't seem to come up before. It was like, well, we'll go to the city council and we'll have them stop it on that basis.
Right, right. And it was pointed out during the meeting that we do not have that control.
Okay. Will this be fairly routine then?
There is a way to resolve it, and that would be that we would develop an ordinance.
Okay.
That would prohibit the exhaust of cooking smoke to the atmosphere.
Can you make those retroactive?
That's a good question. And
here, I'll help you out with that. No.
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but will this be fairly routine tomorrow night?
Let me just finish. If you were to pass an ordinance like that, that would affect things like, I think, is it Burger King?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That exhausts to the air.
Yep.
Yonko's restaurant downtown, where mm-hmm. they sometimes cook outside. So, you know, it has a lot of implications. So,
right.
Anyway, you were asking a question.
Is it going to be fairly routine then on this?
Is anything ever fairly routine?
Here's how I know how the city council meeting is going to be. I'll just throw in during our conversation casually, are you getting a nap in this afternoon? And if Tim says, yeah, it's probably a good idea, then I know exactly how long the Wednesday night meeting is going to be.
No nap necessary.
So, all right, there you go.
You also have an easy ID.
That is
for
correct.
Me.
So
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
A committee of the whole meeting then.
We will conclude the meeting, the city council meeting, wherein we deal with the PUD. We'll conclude that meeting, then we will re-adjourn committee the whole, where we will hear an ISID, which is an enterprise zone investment deduction.
Okay.
And this is for a property on
10th and College?
North College, 10th and College, yes, southwest corner. It's an apartment building with a business downstairs. And so, as I said, an EZID is an enterprise zone investment deduction, which is basically was put together by state statute that gives businesses an opportunity to take a deduction on their taxes for a period of time. This one is in this neighborhood, or this building is in a TIF district.
Okay. Oh, now slow down a minute here.
Okay.
You can't have EZIDs and TIFs. It's like cats and dogs getting together here. Don't cross the streams, Tim. I'm going to be confused as hell in 2 minutes.
Now, let me.
Let's go. I've got my pen out now.
A little background here.
Let's do this.
If a building were built in a part of the city where there was no TIF district, they would simply go to the county clerk's office and file the necessary papers. But because this is in a TIF district, they must come before the city council for its approval.
So if it's in a TIF, they need your approval because it's in a TIF?
Because it is in the TIF. Yes.
Okay. And what determines an EZID? Why can you have an EZID in a TIF? Because they're two different things but similar?
No, they're not two different things. It's kind of a hybrid in a way.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's why I'm a little, yeah. I bet I'm not the only one that's confused.
Right. Yeah.
Having an easy to do tip sounds like something you go to a chiropractor.
Well, it sounds like it's...
It's totally confusing. Yes. I must admit.
No, because you want that area, it sounds like, covered. Well, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so basically what happens, if the building were not built in a TIF, it would be automatic. They would be able to go in. This way, let me see if I can find that note. If it is built within a TIF, then they have to come before the city council. And what that does is it triggers fees that they must pay.
Okay.
Okay, so they don't get the full free ride that you would if you were to negotiate for a tax abatement.
Okay. But they knew they were building in a TIF when they did it, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for partial relief, not full relief.
That's right. So what happens is part of the money goes to the Bloomington Enterprise Association, which is again, it's getting confusing, but it will be in that TIF district, which is, you know, the Bloomington Enterprise, Urban Enterprise Association. They will get, I believe, 20% of... They get 20% of the what would have been the abatement. 9% goes to the Redevelopment Commission, and 1% goes to the State of Indiana for processing fees.
Tim, so is this one of the first times you've had something like this?
No, if you recall, we've done a few of them, and last year we actually passed guidelines for how we would do this. Yeah.
So you saw this coming down the pipe.
And this is, you know, it's complicated, and we were kind of, undercut because state basically passed this legislation that said that developers would have this opportunity to do so. So, we have set criteria to do it, and I think it's starting to work pretty well for us. So, So there we are.
Excellent. Well, that's thank you. That does make some more sense, and it's easier to get a hold of. All right, sounds good. What are you riding in the little 500 this year?
No, I parked my bike.
Are you? Did you have a permit for that? Did you? Are you going to wave the green flag?
No.
Are you going to? Can you believe that April's almost over?
I know.
It's flying by.
And I've already cut the grass twice.
Wow. Yeah, so that is accurate.
Hey, are you available? Mine needs cutting.
There's another fine you can get Keith for.
Exactly.
All right, Tim, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy your meeting tomorrow night, 7:30, Council Chambers?
Yes, 7:30 tomorrow night.
Sounds good. So if you want to come by and say hi for the crew for us.
Will do.
All right, thanks,
Tim. Talk to you next week.
All right, Tim Mayer, City Councilman, checks in every Tuesday morning to get us ready for his Wednesday meeting.